the truth we now embrace. Unshakable is the call we've heard that beats our hearts to wake.
Face and not your head. oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. You are mine. You call me out.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me Horatio Spafford had it all. A thriving legal practice, property, a loving wife and four daughters. But for Spafford, everything was about to change. In the fall of 1871, the Great Chicago Fire devastated the city, destroying his wealth along with almost everything he owned. 2 years later, to give his family a much-needed rest from their sorrows, Spafford scheduled a vacation to Europe. He sent his wife and daughters ahead of him while he remained to take care of some last-minute business. While at sea, the ship carrying his entire family collided with another vessel. All four of his daughters drowned. Only his wife survived. Stricken by grief, Spafford boarded the ship that would take him to his beloved Anna in England. It was on this ship that he wrote a prayer to God, a classic hymn that has been sung by millions for over 100 years. From his heart poured these words, "When sorrow like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul."
Oh, that he tells through the song and the inspiration that it gives me. God, I want the faith and the hope that this man has, and I pray that you would give that to all of us today in this room, and I thank you for that. Amen. All right, good job, you guys. I have a favor. Scoot to the middle of your sections so we can make room for people still coming in, if you don't mind, and then give somebody a high five. Tell them good job for scooting in, and then you can have a seat.
Hey, good to see everybody this morning. Thank you guys for going to the middle of your sections. Also note, we do have room at the 8:30 service. I'm actually saying that to folks who call Crossroads Home or are part of this team. We'd love for you to think about moving out of this service into the 8:30 service to make room for more of our friends who are coming. Hey, I'm Chuck Mingo, and I'm the campus pastor here at Oakley, and I'm excited that it's full in here because I'm thinking there's some folks in here who came to await it and have come back, and if that's you, welcome to Crossroads Oakley. We are excited that you are here. Very excited to see you here. And we're in a series called Bright Future, and we really believe that this series could set 2015 up to be the best year of your life. We really believe that. So I want to encourage you not just to come this weekend, but to come back for the whole series and experience that. You know, in fact, we believe that the closer you get to this team, the more you're involved in what God is doing in this team as we're going in His direction, it sets you up to live a life where you can make better decisions and live with fewer regrets. And so I want to tell you about some next steps to move in that direction. One of them is community groups. Community groups are smaller groups of folks that get together for a specific period of time to grow in a specific area. And we've got groups forming now. We had 1,000 people sign up for community groups last weekend, and there's space for more, and maybe you should be in one. So we have groups for married folks. If you're brand new to marriage or if you've been married and maybe hit some bumps, there's a group called After the Honeymoon for newlyweds. And then we have a group called Real Marriage. Love for you to think about that. Maybe 2015 is the year where your marriage goes to a new place and is a bright future. We're also running Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Maybe you have a friend who's gotten out of debt following Dave's baby steps, and you're wondering, could that happen for you? It can if you get in the groups. So I want to encourage you to take a look at your program, go online to crossroads.net, take a next step and be involved in a community group around here. We'd love to see you in that space, and we'd love to see you grow as a result of it. One other thing, we have got probably the most exciting opportunity for you to jump in and join the team. I don't know if you know it or not, but this place runs based on unpaid workers. We've got folks who work, who serve, who make things happen. And in 3 weeks, we're going to be working hard for the big game. The big game. I'm not talking about the NFL Super Bowl. I'm talking about the 13th annual Crossroads Super Bowl of Preaching. Yes. You may not know this, but Super Bowl weekend has typically been low attendance for churches around the nation. Surprise, surprise. But here, we pack the place out because Brian and I do a good old-fashioned preach-off. It is a real competition. Original commercials, a lot of fun. You don't want to miss it. And we need hundreds of workers to make it happen. So I want to encourage you to sign up to serve for Super Bowl. That could look like first impressions. And those are the folks that help park cars and help people find their seats. Could also be stepping out and serving in Kids Club, because while we're having a fun time in here, they're having an absolute blast in Kids Club, and you should be a part of it. You can make it happen. You can help new families navigate the hallways and find a place for their kids to be dropped off. Or you can be that adult that helps a kid transition into a room and hangs with them for the hour so they can experience a great time and learn about God. So love for you to sign up and get involved. Super Bowl is coming. The tickets will go, quote unquote, on sale. They're free, but they'll go online next Friday at 10 a.m. I want you to think about someone in your life, a friend or a family perhaps, you think would love coming to Super Bowl, would have a good time, and maybe hear a message that could impact their 2015. And particularly if you call this place home, invite someone out and be a part of Super Bowl. So be a part of the team, engage in the work, and also invite a friend. One more thing, if you would rather talk to someone about these opportunities, figure out what the right next step is for you if you're checking this place out, join us next Sunday at Context Live. It happens at 1 p.m. and over a light meal, you can spend time with Crossroads staff and volunteers and figure out what's the next step for you. Well, this is a chance for us to be generous, because one of the other ways that we are a team around here is we give. We give sacrificially to be a blessing and to make sure that there are environments where people can experience God all over this place and, in fact, all over our city and the world. So in a moment, volunteers are going to come down, and you can give that way, cash or check. You can also give online at crossroads.net/give. We've got an app you can download, and then you can give in the moment. You can also set up recurring giving. Love for you to be a part of that generosity as we're about to do it as a team. Now, I will tell you, as we come up on the Super Bowl of preaching, it gets a little bit intense in the offices. You know, there's a little bit of competition going on. So this week, we kind of captured an inside look at what it's really like in the Crossroads offices this week. So let's take a look.
Offense dominating the Super Bowl. Right. Here he is, Chuck. Good to see you. Been studying up, getting ready for the big game.
It's going to be a packed house this year.
Nice.
They've been like this all week?
All week long.
Oh, yes. It is coming up. That's going to be the last week in our Bright Future series. I'm really getting a lot of good comments about this series because we're trying to reorient our minds towards reality. There's a lot of good things happening. And the more we expect, pray about, and work towards them, the brighter future we're going to have. And then all of a sudden, this last week, I know a lot of us walked out of here, we're like all fired up, like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, life happens to us. It's like, just get tired. We come home at the end of the day, we just need to like veg out. Go to our normal form of recreation.
From ABC News, live in Times Square, this is Good Morning America.
You're watching CNN, the world's news leader. I'm Andrew Stevens.
Susan Hogan has been on the story all day long. Joins us now with more details you need to know.
Here's what we're following for you right now. North Korea is calling for high-level talks with the United States.
Fox's alert now, the Ebola emergency here in America.
First case of the deadly disease diagnosed on U.S. soil.
The hottest new trend for shedding those extra LBs.
Air
fast.
Asia 8501. Only 30 bodies have been recovered.
One of the largest recalls in automotive.
Students in debt tops $1 trillion.
Three-day ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is history.
Months of rising tensions with the U.S.
spiraling out of control.
14 people have been killed so far.
The first identified victim of the crash came
through. Protesters and police in riot.
Epidemic levels.
Blast your belly.
My city on high alert.
Hot new diet.
Launch keys to nuclear missiles in a string of
shooting. The killers
are the fighters.
ISIS is preparing to be stoned.
The largest recall.
Just think, when you've been getting down by the liars and dirty, dirty cheats, you could have been getting down with this sick beat.
You guys stand up and sing this with me. I stay out too late. Got nothing in my brain. At least that's what people say.
People say,
Oh, man, you can have a seat. We want to shake off all the stuff that we get stressed about, we worry about today. There's kissing cousins that really hang out a lot with each other. It's called stress, worry, fear, concern. These are all kissing cousins that all forecast into the future that bad stuff is going to happen. And we're looking today that no. There is a God who cares, and bad things may happen, and they will happen in all of our lives, but there is a God who's working a plan, and the closer we get to him and more we align with where he's going, the brighter our future is. So let's pray before we go any further. God, thank you for giving us wake-up calls. I know some of us today, we're going to get a little wake-up call, and it's going to be a really good wake-up call. And others of us are really going to be comforted with where we're going, because we're going the right direction. We just need to keep going where we're going. Help me, God, to honor you, to reflect your truth, and to be helpful to your people in here today. And I pray these things according to your name, the person of Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 12:25 says this: anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Anxiety, stress, fear, worry, concern weighs us down. Today I want to give you a good word. I want to give you a good word to make you glad, because there's a lot of things that are happening that you and I should be very encouraged by. In fact, you don't even have to be a believer in God to understand there's some amazing things happening in our world. One well-known TED Talk by Peter Diamonds, he says this in an excerpt. Over the last 100 years, the average human lifespan has more than doubled. Average per capita income, adjusted for inflation around the world, has tripled. Childhood mortality has come down a factor of 10. Add to that the cost of food, electricity, transportation, communication have dropped 10 to 1,000 fold. We're living during the most peaceful time ever in human history. Global literacy has gone from 25% to over 80% in the last 130 years. And we truly are living in an extraordinary time, and many people forget this. We do forget this. Why is it? It's because we have this condition that's called humanity. And as humans, we stress and freak out and have paranoias and phobias that I don't think any of the rest of God's creation has, but we have them. And there's some unique things that are happening in America that make us a bit more stressful than people before, so I'll talk about that in a moment. But basically, this is the human condition. Jesus dealt with it because humans were around when Jesus was around, and he always looked at the issue and gave crazy, crazy clarity. Let's take a look at what he had to say in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, 25 to 34. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek." That was a way of saying someone who doesn't know God back in those times. "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, classic Jesus here. He boils it down. He does it really, really well. And then people like me take his very simple, helpful words, and we say, "Yeah, well, let's like add a bunch of points to it and talk about 20 minutes longer than he actually did." It's a classic talk he had. It was called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's important to see, as we're in this series about a bright future, we're not trying to breathe fairy dust into your mind and telling you hard times don't exist. Just ignore reality and ignore bad stuff. Some of us are in some hard times right now. Some of us are going to come into some hard times. But these are not the things that we're to focus on. They're not the things that are going to take our relationship with God to a new place in understanding his character. The fact of the matter is all of us are going to have difficulty and trouble. Jesus says this at the very end of this little sermon vignette. He says, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Sufficient. So in other words, every day you and I are going to have trouble. And every day you and I are going to have bright things that we can thank God for every day. There's not a single day, no matter how great it is, there isn't something in your life that couldn't be improved. And there's not a single day, no matter how bad it is, there isn't something that we can thank God for. And Jesus says, tomorrow we'll start the whole thing over again. This is important to understand that the idea of worry is never going to go away because we are always going to see things that we're concerned about. We're always going to see things that freak us out a little bit. And in our society, we see a lot more things than arguably anyone has seen in all of human history because we have the media with us. I'm not trashing the media. I'm just saying this, that for most of human history, the most people you knew were like 70 to 80 people in your small town and village, right? But now we hear about everyone's problems all over the place, and we actually have an advertising industry that wants to make us feel that we need something in order for our life to be okay because things are not going well. It's amazing to me how surprised we are in Cincinnati every year when January comes that it gets cold. Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh, I was reading USA Today last week, and the new buzzword for the year on weather is Arctic Blast. Yes, Arctic Blast is coming. No, not it's, hey, it's January. It's always cold like the Arctic is. No, it's not that. It's, oh no, look out, Arctic Blast is coming. They invent these ones every single year. They gotta have some new thing to make us fearful, worry, and concerned that the future is very bleak and dark. Last year, we all know what it was. What was it last year? It was polar vortex. And we know where these things come from. They come from Kroger. That's where they come from. Kroger is out paying advertising agencies to come up with things that will freak you and I out. Honestly, I came to Cincinnati and I never heard the term wintry mix before I came to Cincinnati. Oh, wintry mix, what is that like? Snow, ice, daggers falling from the sky that are cold. What is that? I mean, we are so freaked out. We don't know, Kroger, seriously. They pay advertising agencies to come up with phrases that freak us out. So, oh no, be worried, very worried. Mildred, how many eggs we got in the house? Ah, we got 12. We need 3 more dozen right now. Let's get to Kroger and buy some more. Hey, and by the way, how much toilet paper we have? We got a couple toilet, we have a couple rolls. I'm gonna take a lot of dumps for the next 3 weeks. We're not gonna get out of the house. Let's go and stand in line and get more toilet paper. It's ridiculous. Oh no, oh. You know, we have a lot of people coming to Crossroads, and I know that one of the people for the ad agencies that Kroger is contracted with, and just give us a heads up. Here's what's coming next year. It's called Abominable Snow Death. Go to Kroger now, Abominable Snow Death. Part of what we know in psychology is if you visualize something, specifically sports psychology, if you visualize something, you can elevate your game. So great golfers, they visualize their swing. There's something about as you visualize and go through it. Now, it's not just a matter of visualizing your swing, but if you visualize it and then go and practice it, you can escalate your performance. When I come to key points here on stage, as I'm preparing for it, I'll visualize how I want to say it, how I want it to come off. It's part of preparation. The problem is, you can't just visualize something. You have to be engaged in it. You can't just visualize good things, and expect that to happen. You have to visualize it, and then you have to put it into plan to have a bright future. And the problem with worry is, it's constantly visualizing something that's going to go really, really bad, and there's really nothing you can do about it, nor should you do about it. And all this energy that we spend worrying, being fearful, concerned, being anxious, all this energy we spend on that is energy we can't spend thinking about God. It's energy we can't spend talking to God. It's energy that we can't spend being creative in our jobs, creative in building into other people, and doing things. That's why God says to us in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold your God. I would say to those of us who have an anxious heart, we're worried, we have some paranoia, some phobias, hey, fear not, behold your God. The thing is, we can't behold negative paranoia and behold God at the same time. Our mind only has time, space for one thing. We all know now, you can't multitask. You can't multitask. We toggle back and forth with things. And so you cannot be worried and stressed and at the same time beholding your God and connecting to him. So a few things I want to say that ties into all the things that Jesus has taught me and you about worry. Four of them. Number one, own your own worry. Own your own worry. Own your own worry. I don't know what it is that stresses you out. I don't know what it is that causes you anxiety, but here's the good news and the bad news. You control it. You do. Own your worry. Your job does not stress you out. Your job does not give you ulcers. There's nothing in the HVAC system that's sending flecks of worry onto your desk. It doesn't. The economy does not keep you up at night. The economy does not have power to change sleep rhythms. Your response to that data and that stimuli is what keeps you up at night. Your response, your willful decision, is what causes the stomach enzymes to kind of go and mess up your innards. I go ballistic when I hear someone who's close to me say something like, you made me feel like a piece of turd. Which, first of all, is like, how do we know what a piece of turd feels like? I don't want to find out what that feels like. But what's being said there, what's being said is, you control my emotions. What you just did controls who I am. I'll tell you what, you don't have that power over me. You may say something that bums me out for a moment. All of a sudden, I have the ability to say, I'm getting bummed out here. I can choose to stay bummed out, or I can get my emotions, get my mind and attitude going a different direction. You have to own your, no one makes you stress out. No one makes you freaked out. No one makes you worry. It is your mind, it's your emotions. You and I are the ones who are in control of it. And the problem is, again, in our society, we have more stimuli we find out more things that are going bad than anyone has in human history because of the size of our metropolitan areas, because of social media, because of everything. And all of this is another psychological condition that causes us to always default to the most recent thing we've learned and heard, thinking that it's going to happen to us. You can look in Wikipedia and find out this phrase called the availability heuristic. And what this means is, whatever the most recent stimuli that's available to you, we will assume that it's going to happen to us because we just heard about it. It like elevates it. It elevates in our awareness that it happened recently. So Americans before 70-something, by and large, didn't care about sharks at all. All of a sudden, Jaws comes out. Oh, no! Can't go in the water because we just saw someone get their leg munched, and now every time we go in the water, we're thinking about that. The only thing that's different is we just saw something that makes us think that I am now susceptible to this. We hear about cutbacks in the company, and our company might be doing really well, but all of a sudden we think, oh no, I'm going to have cutbacks in my company. Nothing has changed. We just heard about that. The other night I was watching a documentary on Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and it was going through the Depression. And I sat there watching this economic depression and people in food lines and people in West Virginia just in abject poverty and just awful. And I sat there and I started going, oh my gosh, that could happen again. That is so going to happen again. I started getting freaked out. Going, oh no, I gotta get more dehydrated food. I gotta get this. And all of a sudden I stopped myself because again, I'm starting to get stressed out. But guess what? I am in control of my stress. So all of a sudden I go, hold on. I've watched a lot of things in the Depression because I like history, American history specifically. I've watched a lot of things and read a lot of things, and every single time I read about it, I always feel the same way. I always go, ooh, and yet there has never been a depression in my lifetime. Now, there's going to be another economic recession. Again, I don't know when it is. I hope it's not this year. There's going to be another economic depression again at some point. I don't know when, hopefully not in my lifetime. But thinking that, oh no, it's going to happen is really, really weird. It doesn't make any sense. I engage my mind. One thing the Bible says is take captive of every thought. So I take captive of that thought. I grab it, I grab it down here and go, let me look at this thought. Man, I've thought about this for a lot and it's never happened. This is just what worry does to me. One of the difficulties of my job makes me susceptible to worry is I know more people than the average people. I know of more problems than the average person knows of problems. I get people emailing me all the time for, I got prayer for this, can you pray for this? Or I'm in prayer meetings, and that's all good, and I appreciate that and enjoy all of that. But here's the thing. No one's ever emailing me stuff like, hey, why don't you thank God for me that things are going really well with my life? No one's ever emailing me, hey, man, God is so good, I got X, Y. Just thank God for me and pray for me that I stay happy as I am. I don't get those prayer requests. I get all the ones that are, oh, I got cancer, I got this, I got that. And what happens with me is I hear all these, or I hear about them, like key volunteer in an area, or this, or that. As I hear about these, I hear about more physical suffering than the average person is. And when I do, I'm going, oh my gosh, just heard about this person with a brain aneurysm. Just the other day, I was talking, and my thoughts got ahead of my mouth, and I started slurring my words. Maybe that's it. Maybe I got a brain thing. Seriously, I go, oh no, I was like, hold, Brian, you do this all the time. Someone sent me an email about something, and I don't know how it even got in my inbox, but it reminded me of a church I'd spoken at in Phoenix a number of years ago, and it was this pastor's resignation, and I thought, oh my gosh, this must be like bad news happened with him. So I go to look at his resignation, his final service, and no, it wasn't a scandal, it was that he got Parkinson's. I'm looking at this guy who was my age, who was vibrant, who was all, and he's shaking. He's shaking and he's trying to talk, and he's talking about the procedure where they're going to take a wire from his brain down to his heart, and he's handing over the church to the next person. And as I'm watching him, I'm going, oh man, man. And I think, wait a minute, I've had some numbness right here. I wonder if that's Parkinson's. And also, hold on. I got to capture that thought. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I don't operate according to fear, but I'm telling you, I own it because it comes to my mind very, very regularly, and I make the decision to focus my mind on God and not focus my mind on all the things that worry is telling me is going to happen when in reality it's not going to happen. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus puts it this way. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. The word, things that God wants to do with us, he wants it to be fruitful, to give us a bright future. And there's nothing wrong with the world, and there's nothing wrong with riches. What's wrong is when we have intense cares or worries about the world, or we are deceived that riches are going to make us happy. And we allow that to sidetrack our mind. We choke out the things that God is wanting to do in us. Worry is negatively foretelling the future, and you need to own it and stop being a doomsday prophet on yourself. Number two, notice pre-interest penalties. Notice pre-interest penalties. I just share with you a couple of fears I've had, and I look at those, and none of those have happened. Another fear I have, or a worry that comes by my mind regularly, is every time I go on a motorcycle trip, a big motorcycle trip, I pack up my bike, and I go to put my leg over, and all of a sudden I get this thought of, I'm going to wreck. And this is going to be a really, really bad wreck. Oh, gosh. And the problem is, I just saw some stupid TV special a long time ago about a woman who's walking to her flight, and as she's walking to her flight, she all of a sudden had the thought of, oh no, the plane's going to crash. And she turned around and went home, and the plane crashed. So now, since that moment, I'm going, oh gosh, I just had a thought of something. Maybe it's God talking to me. Maybe it's God telling me, this is my thing is done. I need to, like, heed the voice of God and not go on this motorcycle trip. And then I realized, hold on, I have this before every single trip. Every single trip, I have the exact same voice. I've probably put about 100,000 miles on a motorcycle in the last 10 years. And I've been in the hospital once for stitches, five stitches. Once, five stitches. This is, and hundreds and hundreds of times, no. I'm going to stop prepaying interest on the worry that comes from it. And yet we are worried, despite the amazing blessings we have in our country, we are worried and paranoid all the time. USA Today reported a Pew research statistic that said this, an overwhelming 71% of those surveyed are dissatisfied with the way things are going in the country today. Just 49% predict 2015 will be better, the first time since 1990 that optimism for the year ahead has dipped below 50%. So we're getting more and more concerned about the future. And by the way, we shouldn't allow whether or not we're going to increase the net worth allow us to be happy or not. If we need things to be ever better in order to be happy, then we're not connecting with God. Our circumstances are ruling our hearts instead of God ruling our hearts. And I don't know what it is, but you don't have to be a mental health professional to know that there's more and more people contemplating suicide than ever before. And we all know that when we go to somebody's grave or funeral service who's committed suicide, everyone there is going, gosh, their problems weren't that bad. What is this? Their problems were that. It elevates it. And I want to say it to some of us. There's some of us in here right now. You probably think that might be. It's not. It's not. You will come out of this, especially by God's grace. You will come out of this. Don't prepay interest on thinking about anything like that. On my Twitter feed the other day, I'll just quote it because I'm probably not smart enough to think about it again. I said this, in 1900, the average American spent $76 of every $100 on food, clothes, and shelter. Today, it's $37. Stop worrying. So in 1900, we talk about the best predictor of the future is history. So history tells us things keep getting better and better and better because it was not too long ago, 75% of all of our money just went to living. Now 75% of our money goes to non-essential things. If it's not in your belly, if you're not wearing it or you're not sleeping in it, it's a non-essential thing. Car, you don't need one. You can get by without it. Vacation, don't need it. Internet, whatever. All these things are great. I have all these things. I'm saying we have more ability to have things than ever before in human history. And this stat came from a pretty interesting book. It's called The Rational Optimist. Jesus talks about birds. And what is his reason to tell us that we shouldn't be worried? It's not that, oh no, bad things aren't going to happen. It's, look at birds. Birds are doing okay. And you're more important than birds because you and I are created in the image of God. Only human beings are created in the image of God. Your dog isn't created in the image of God. Cats definitely aren't created in the image of God, even though I have one. You and I are created in the image of God. And this means that we can do certain things that other animals can't because we're like God in certain ways. And one of the ways are we are creative, we can innovate, we can advance our lifestyle. No pack of wolves has ever advanced their lifestyle, ever, because they're not created in the image of God. They can't creatively problem solve how to elevate themselves. No giraffes have ever figured out how to do Wi-Fi. Never have. And what's happened with us, this book talks about it, is that when it used to be way, 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 way long time ago, all of us had to kill our own food, we had to grow our own plants, we had to make our own clothes, we had to carve out our own cave. Now we specialize. We say, hey man, I'm not good to build anything. Great, I'll be a builder. You just like make my food and I'll buy it at Kroger for you when it's not bad weather. Okay, good. And I'll do the clothes. Good, you do the clothing and you can buy the house for me. We specialize, which enables us to do some things really, really well and have infinite amount of return for our labor because we're really good at it. In other words, other people aren't. And this is part of how we go forward. It's a fascinating study. Here's one of the quotes from it. Everything a person could want or need has been going rapidly upwards for 200 years and erratically upwards for 10,000 years before that. Years of lifespan, mouthfuls of clean water, lungfuls of clean air, hours of privacy, means of traveling faster than you can run, ways of communicating farther than you can shout, even allowing for the hundreds of millions who still live in abject poverty, disease, and want, this generation of human beings has access to more calories, watts, lumen hours, square feet, gigabytes, megahertz, light years, nanometers, bushels per acre, miles per gallon, food miles, air miles, and of course, dollars, than any that went before. They have more Velcro, vaccines, vitamins, shoes, singers, soap operas, mango slicers, sexual partners, not all this is good, by the way, tennis rackets, guided missiles, not that either, and anything else they could even imagine needing. Things are going really, really well and are likely to keep going really well, and don't prepay interest on something that's not going to happen. Think about the worries you've had and count up how many of them happen. About none of them. You probably can't even remember all the worries you've had. If you're married, talk to your spouse. They'll remind you. Don't pay pre-interest penalties. And if you're going, man, I don't know. It's real simple. connect with God. In fact, one of the things that Ephesians says, the book of Ephesians in the New Testament says, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Some of us look at this and go, man, that's the thing I don't like about the Bible. It's always got these unrealistic expectations, like pray at all times and just go to church all day and pray. No. If you can worry, you can pray at all times. It's the exact same muscles. It's the exact same space in your mind. Worrying is a disciplined effort to think about what could go wrong and ruminate on it. Prayer is a disciplined effort to think about God, talk to him, and ruminate on him. If you can worry, you can have an amazing prayer life. It just means as you go throughout your day, you take thoughts and you direct them to God. You talk to God. Oh, I'm concerned with that. God, thank you for what you've done in my life. I just want to tell you, you provided for me over and over again. Help me to see the needs of everybody around me who I can build into them and bless them. You're having a conversation with God instead of having a conversation with yourself about all the things that could go wrong. Number three, separate sober preparation from manic obsession. Separate sober preparation from manic obsession. I have concerns that someone would sue me and take everything I own. So guess what? I have car insurance. So I buy car insurance, and you know, that's it. I don't manically obsess over it. Which, by the way, I have some new temptations for worries with that. I have five drivers on my policy. In the last 12 months, I've had four accidents and three totaled cars. Yeah, I can't wait for the next premium. That's going to be wonderful. Now, fortunately, two of the accidents were somebody else's fault. By the way, how many accidents did I get? None. The guy who's paying the bill? None. Geico has assigned me my own personal adjuster. His name is Dustin. Hey, Dustin, I haven't talked to you for a while. How are you doing? Now, I can sit around and I can go, oh no, what's going to happen? The bill's going to come in 2 months. And I'm going to, I might get dropped. I might go in a high risk category. How's this going to happen? And guess what I get for that? Nothing. I get absolutely nothing. There's no amount of problem solving I can do as a result. So you know what I do? I just go, I'm not going to think about it. I'm putting it, unless I have to use it for a sermon illustration. I'm not going to think about it. I mean, what am I going to do? How am I going to call up Geico and say, hey, let's talk about what might happen in a couple months. I'm not going to get through to anybody. I got my first massive audit of my taxes and my giving and all that kind of stuff this last year. And you know what? I've gathered all my stuff up, sent it off to the IRS, and some beady-eyed guy was like, now, wait a minute. If I carry the two up here and I find out, came back, everything was fine. But I didn't think about it at all because you could choose to worry or not to worry. Figure out what is the right preparation and then move on. Our first campus in Clifton opens tonight. If you're watching online, awesome. I hope you're going to Bogart's. It's great, as you know. And you know, you hear about somebody who's being mugged on UC's campus, and what do you do? Sober preparation. Maybe you say, all right, I'm not going to walk alone past, I don't know what time it is. I'm not going to go on that street by myself. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying what you should or shouldn't do. All I'm saying is have a plan for just what you're going to do and not going to do, and then move on with your life. Don't manically obsess. I hear moms say stuff like, well, you know what? I'm a worrier. That's being a good mom. No, it isn't. That's being an annoying mom. That's being a mom that everyone wants to get away from. Soberly prepare. Put locks on your lower cabinet doors. Fine. But stop manically obsessing over everything. It drives people away. It drives relationships away. It keeps us from connecting with God. You think, I don't care what you say, Brian. I don't care. End of the world is coming. Okay, it's going to come at some point, at least the end of the world as we know it. Okay, so soberly prepare. You want to get some dehydrated food and some water in your basement, a couple guns, fine. Go ahead, do that, and then live your life. But don't subscribe to End of the World magazine. Don't go to roundtable discussions over this or that. No, just soberly prepare and move on. This is how we get free. This is how we get free. One of the things that comes against in the Bible over and over again is fortune tellers. Do not tell your own fortune. That's what worry is. It's telling your own fortune and it's making it negative, and that's not the way it should be. We need to train our mind on God, and not train our mind on all the things that could go wrong. I do have a real condition. It's called manus pantryitis. I don't know if you've heard of it. It happens when I go to the pantry. I go to the pantry as a man. I go to the pantry as a man, and I open the door looking for him, the Jif peanut butter. I open the door, and I can't see it. I can't find it. I say, Lib, where's the Jif peanut butter? Can't find the Lib peanut butter. And my wife comes over and proceeds to pull the peanut butter right off the shelf within 1 second, and I go, I didn't see it. As a man, it's pantryitis. You can't see it. It's a weird, weird. Anybody else have mannish pantryitis in here? Anybody else have? Just out of curious, not to be sexist, give the women a chance. Any ladies have mannish pantryitis? A couple. Seriously, there's something here. There's really something here. Men are very visual. This helps us and hurts us. We're very visual. And so what happens for me, when I go to the pantry, I go, oh, I need to get some peanut butter. What happens in my mind, I picture Jif peanut butter. I picture it on a specific place on a specific shelf. So I go and I look and and I'm looking, it's like, it's not there. And I'll even say to myself, no, wait a minute, this might be mannish pantryitis. Be creative and think of something else. Just kind of go around. And I'll go around looking. And honestly, I won't see it. I won't see it because my mind is saying, so here's the thing. You see what you're training yourself to see. If you're training yourself to see negativity and to see doom and gloom, to see bad things happen to you, I'm not saying those are going to invite them on you, but I'm just saying you're not going to be happy unless you see them. And if you're training yourself to see God, I'm telling you, you will see God. If you're training yourself to see the opportunities that God wants to do, you will see that. Train yourself in that. Own it. Capture it. Pay interest on the things that are going to actually do something for you. Fourth, final thing. As a result of this focus, sing a different song. Sing a different song. Get something on your mind that's a different refrain than what average people who get worried, stressed out, and feared out do. Sing a different song. I've had a song on my mind all week long. And this song has reminded me of things that Jesus talked about, because that worry that we're inviting on ourselves, Jesus said, who can add a single cubit to your life? In other words, you can't grow higher because of worry. You spending time in worry is the most fruitless, faithless, worthless time you could ever spend, because nothing good ever comes out of it. Nothing. All you've had is a negative fantasy where you've gone in some dark place and you haven't connected with God and you haven't solved any real problems. But when you connect with God and you talk with Him, something powerful happens. I want to do something, put something different in our mind. I've had a song in my mind this whole last week. It's an old song. It's an old churchy song that I like. And I want to do it for you right now. I haven't sung here for a long, long time, and most of you who've heard me sing are very thankful for that. Very, very thankful for that. But this song is informed by a great verse in the Bible from the book of Philippians chapter 4. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, guess what? When you're worrying about something, it's not reasonable. When you're connected with God, that's very reasonable. Be known to everyone, for the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. When we choose to rejoice, we get our minds going the way of God. And when you're going the way of God, your future is going to be brighter, because He's going to give you ideas you didn't have, and you're going to do things that you wouldn't have done otherwise. And we need to do something that gets our mind going the right direction. So I've had this song in my mind all week. I've been singing it a cappella. You might know it. If you want to sing with me, I'd love to have you sing it with me. If you want to learn it with me, you can learn it with me. I'm doing this song not because I want to sing in front of you, because believe me, I do not. I'm doing this song because I want to give you a different song. I want to plague you with something really positive this week. I want to have a song that talks about the joy of the Lord. Now, I haven't done the guitar for a long time either, until yesterday, so I've been doing a cappella. We're going to do it with the guitar because it's a little easier for you. Here's how it goes. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd, I am not afraid. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. All right, not bad. Two more verses. Here we go. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. He will uphold me all of my days. I am surrounded by mercy and grace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not waver, walking by faith. He will be strong to deliver me safe. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Let's do that again. He will be strong. He will be strong to deliver me safe. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Here we do. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. God, I pray that strength will be real and it will be tangible for us. The evil one never strengthens us through worry, fear, paranoia, phobia, concern. You strengthen us through your joy, through your presence, through your solutions. Give your people this week the very hope that you've always given your people. And I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, have a phenomenal day and watch some football.